Much, Brother Jeff. Thank you for your ministry and song today. Thank you, Miss Anna. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. We have a couple of special services coming up here on Sundays, and I hope you've got your calendar marked and that you will be active here at FBT. We are looking forward to the coming Sunday, April the 21st. We will have the Passover, Christ in the Passover. In the morning service, Brother Henry Benach will be with us from Jewish End Times Ministries, End Time Ministries, and you'll see that there. And he'll in the morning service, we'll walk through the Passover and see Christ in the Passover. And then in the evening service, he'll be dealing with prophecy and Israel. And even in the overnight hours, we see turmoil and things there in the Middle East. And so we have much to pray for in the peace of Jerusalem, and then much to pray for, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And I'm looking forward to the coming Sunday, and I hope you'll be active in inviting folks to join you. It's a tremendous opportunity to have that friend, that coworker, that neighbor, that family member that perhaps would not come to services on a regular basis, but you would be inclined to invite them for these special days and have them here for that service next Sunday morning and looking at Christ in the Passover. Then the following Sunday, we have our missions conference, and I hope you're in prayer for our conference. Brother Danny Whetstone will be preaching in our conference, and we have about seven or eight missionary families that will be joining us for the conference. And I want to spend my time today in both the morning and the evening service related to faith promise and our missions giving here at the church. And so I want to walk through things that we have as it relates to our own church family and to the way that we support missions around the world. And so we want to look here in Philippians chapter 4. We will also, let me just throw this out there, we will have a special series from Mother's Day until Father's Day on the home. And so we'll look forward to that. It begins on Sunday morning, Mother's Day, and it will run through Father's Day this year. And we've done that a number of different times and looked at a lot of lessons that the Word of God gives us for the home. And so a lot of things on the horizon, and I do hope that you will invest yourself here as we consider these things. Philippians chapter 4, I'm getting a high sign from Miss Anita. Is my battery not good? All right, my batteries are not good. All right, let's see here. Is this thing on? All right. It is not. It is on, but the batteries are not functioning, all right? So I will have a new set of batteries here. Thank you so much. Everybody on live stream now is wondering what I'm saying. I'm talking. Thank you so much. I thought I got fresh batteries this morning. D.L. Moody and Jonathan Edwards really worried about their batteries and their in their lapel mics, right? All right, let's see if that works. All right, it says that I'm on now. All right, so live stream, we're glad to have you joining us again. You should have been here to hear the special announcement that I just made. I'm just kidding. All right, so if you're on live stream, the batteries have gone bad. All right, Philippians chapter 4, are you there? Let's look and see what the Apostle Paul says to a church in Philippi. This is the local church in Philippi. He says in verse number 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care," or their giving, "their care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound, and everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. You helped out in a time of need. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," look at this carefully, "no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." The Apostle Paul had one supporting church. Could you imagine that as a missionary that's sent forth? Ye only, they communicated in giving and receiving. Look at verse number 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, look at the context and look at this next verse and what it really applies to. Verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That verse finds itself in the midst of teaching on giving to help the gospel go abroad. In conjunction with what the church at Philippi had done in the area of missions giving, the Apostle Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to walk with me through the New Testament over the next few moments, and I want this to be a message that will at times be a good bit redundant for people that have been a part of FBT for many, many years. But perhaps you're new to FBT, you're new to the Lord, or you're new to our church, and you wonder about how we support missionaries in a worldwide effort. The Bible says here that the local church at Philippi was used again and again to minister to the needs of the Apostle Paul, the missionary that was taking the gospel to other regions and other cities and was seeing people saved and churches planted. And the church at Philippi had fruit that abounded to their account because of that missionary giving. Take your Bibles. You keep them handy this morning because we're going to do a little bit of traveling, a little bit differently than we normally do here on a Sunday morning. But travel with me back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I want to preach these two messages, one this morning and one tonight, in preparation for our missions conference. It's possible that our missionary speaker, Brother Whetstone, will cover some of these very same things. But it's also quite possible that he doesn't mention some of this. And so I want you to have a groundwork in preparation for the conference and kind of the backdrop of why we are involved in worldwide evangelization. Acts chapter 1, look at what the Bible says in verse number 7. This is after the Lord's death, burial, resurrection. This is after the 40 days in which they've interacted with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives them this final command. This is the Great Commission, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. The Bible is giving us this command to take the gospel into all these places, not to the exclusion of the other areas, but to keep all of them in mind as we reach the world for Christ. So we're to reach our own Jerusalem, we're to reach into our Judea, we're to reach into Samaria, and we're to reach the uttermost part of the world all at the same time. We have church planters here in the United States of America. We have church planters here in the state of Virginia. We have church planters that are on other continents, and we have church planters that have taken the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. The Great Commission here is given by the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Now go with me, if you would, to chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, in verse number 34. Acts chapter 4, in verse number 34. The Great Commission was given by Christ, and the church was to fan out over the known world. Keep in mind that at this time in Acts chapter 1, we were the uttermost part of the earth. So the United States of America was the regions beyond to the nation of Israel, where they received that command in the first stage there. Now go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 4 and verse 34. This is what is happening at Jerusalem. Verse number 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold,
and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and out of the country and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The church at Jerusalem prospered with the generosity of individuals. What you and I read here in Acts chapter 4 is not communism. It's not the government coming in and taking from everybody that which they have earned and then spreading it out as the government sees fit. Here in this local church there in Jerusalem, the Bible says that when they were made aware of needs, individuals went out and they had the wherewithal to meet the needs. And so of their own doing and of their own volition, they went, some sold properties, some sold things of value, and they came and they gave the money to the apostles and they said, we want you to take this funding and meet the needs of the church and do what you know needs to be done. So the church at Jerusalem first prospered with the generosity of individuals. Then number three, go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter number 8. Remember that God said, I want you to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. The people saw many, many thousands of people trust Christ in Jerusalem. And so the church really kind of stayed and they just enjoyed what was going on there. But they weren't looking yet out to the regions beyond. And so what happens? God stirred the pot in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that stirrer was Saul himself. Acts chapter 8 verses 1 through 4. Persecution is going to spread the gospel and it is going to be the moving factor for believers to leave Jerusalem. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says Saul was consenting unto his death. That's the death of the deacon named Stephen. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad. Now look at where they scattered. Throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women. He committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. This was not a sending of a missionary force. This was one man, Saul, coming in and stirring the pot. And he would say things like this. He'd say, if you're here next Sunday, you're going to jail. And so people in that church there in Jerusalem started to say, you know what, I've often thought about moving out to Provo, Utah. I think I'll be packing up this week. You know, I've been looking into a great timeshare down in Glade, Tennessee, and I think I might be headed that direction this week. And so the next week, instead of that same number being there in Jerusalem, as Saul stirs the pot, actually persecution fanned the flames of the gospel. And by the way, persecution has fanned the flames in a far greater way than freedom ever has. And I say that to our shame. We've been given freedom to share the gospel, and we've recoiled from that. But I tell you what, God brought persecution, or he allowed persecution there to the church, and the gospel went out into these regions beyond. Now, we've been there in that local church in Jerusalem. We've seen how it was funded there in Jerusalem. We've seen now how people are leaving the church of Jerusalem to fan out. Take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. One of the places that they went was a place called Antioch of Syria. If you have your map in the back of your Bible, you can look just straight north of Jerusalem, and you come to a place called Antioch of Syria. There are other Antiochs, but this is Antioch of Syria. And the Bible says here in this passage, I'm going to summarize this, they're looking for ways to now reach out beyond themselves. And so our church was established in 1970. God put it on the heart of Dr. Calvert to begin this church in October of 1970. And from that time forward, we've looked for opportunities to send out men and their families to the United States of America to reach this country for the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, we've sent individuals down into Gainesville to plant a church and up into South Riding to plant a church. And so it's not only Virginia and the United States of America, but we also have missionaries in very remote places around the globe. We even have missionaries in the place of the original Great Commission being given. We have missionaries that are taking the gospel back to the land of Israel. This church said, we want to see more places reached. And so here in Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, as they ministered, look down at verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereof I have called them, whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. God calls out this first missionary force. They're going to take what was done in Jerusalem and what was then done in Antioch, Syria, and they're going to sail across the Mediterranean to Cyprus, the home island of Barnabas, and they're going to start preaching the gospel. People get saved. Churches are planted. They come up into Asia Minor, and they go city by city by city. And as they go city by city by city, they preach the gospel. People get saved. People get baptized, and churches are established. Now, how is God going to provide the ultimate care of all of the funding that would be necessary for missionaries to duplicate what Barnabas and Paul did? We've already seen in Acts, in the early stages of Acts, that the man by the name of Barnabas was a man that was well off. And so it's quite possible that as the church at Antioch sent them forward and as they went to Cyprus, it's quite possible that this was self-funded. That Barnabas said, hey, whatever we receive from Antioch, our sending church, we'll use it, but by all means, this trip is, it's no problem, Paul. As we go, I'm going to make sure all of our needs are taken care of. And so the Bible says they go city by city by city on that first missionary journey. They kind of make a fish hook. They stop at a city and then they reverse themselves and come all the way back to their local church there in Antioch in Acts chapter 14. And the Bible says that they reported back to their home church as to all that God was doing on the mission field. Now, I said all that to bring us back to Philippians chapter 4. In the early days of Jerusalem, wealthy people funded everything that was going on and gave of themselves. They saw the needs. They met the needs. Then, in Acts chapter 13, the first missionaries are sent forth, Barnabas and Paul, and we begin to see now how there's going to come a need that arises. A missionary force is going to go out, and we need to meet this need. How's that going to be accomplished? Well, the Apostle Paul challenged the church at Philippi and said, you have given time and again to the work of the Lord, and there is fruit that abounds to your account. Through the years, God has afforded me the opportunity to travel to a number of different missionary fields and to be with missionaries in their local churches. This past October, Brother John Tripp and I traveled to one of our own missionaries, David Hasifluk. David Hasifluk grew up in our midst right here at FBT. His dad and mom served the Lord here at FBT. He went to the academy here. When he graduated from Bible college, he had this burden. He said, Lord, I want to go to the field of Albania. But he said, I'm going to plant my feet there in Albania. And he started out just caring for children in an orphanage in Albania. And this is around 1993, 1994. In October of this past year, 2023, Brother John and I had the opportunity to be in a conference with Albanian believers. And these are churches that David has had a part in through these 30 years. And I would guesstimate between adults and all the way from the oldest adult to the youngest child that was there, there were about 500 individuals that were at this conference. At one point in time, a man went up to the top of a balcony and looked down on the courtyard area where everybody was assembled, and they took a photo. And I was thinking to myself, David, on this side of eternity, you have the opportunity to see in a very real way your 30-year investment. I don't really know if you comprehend the nature of Albania, but if you study its history and you study, in many ways, God has, in recent generations, has been kept from them. And so when the curtain fell and David had the opportunity to arrive in Albania, I'm now given the opportunity to travel with him into that field, and where there was once little to no witness, there are now many churches and hundreds of believers. And a strong foothold has been placed there for David to now reach into Kosovo and Montenegro and other places that surround Albania. And he's been given the opportunity to make inroads there. And we met with two pastors from Kosovo, and they basically gave us a similar statement and said, hey, come to Kosovo and have this kind of conference in Kosovo. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying in a very real way to the church FBT. He's saying to us in a very real way, you have the opportunity to join with Almighty God in sending missionaries out. And as those missionaries are sent out and a person gets saved and then baptized and then joining a local New Testament church, you have the opportunity to see fruit that abounds to your heavenly account. And my friend, God has given to us the opportunity to see that time and again. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it never gets old. I don't care the missionary, I don't care the mission field. When you're given the privilege of going and seeing what God is doing on the field, I'm telling you, your eyes are open and there's great energy for what God is doing, not just in this country, but what He's doing around the world. God is going to use the local church to fund the Great Commission. Missionaries are sent out from the local church, and they're funded by the local church to start more local churches. You say, Pastor, that kind of seems redundant to me. You know what? God is the one who set it up. And He set it up just that way. We send missionaries directly out of our church. If you're new to FBT, we have about 9 families that have been sent directly out of our midst that are serving on the mission field. They're serving in Fiji. They're serving in Japan. They're serving in Cape Verde off the coast of Africa. They're serving in Brazil. They're serving in Albania. And I could go on. Those missionaries have given of themselves to depart from our midst that they could take the gospel to another place. And so we have some of our own that are serving on the field. But then we also have some other missionaries that have come to us that have been sent out by other local churches, and we have become partners with them to see the gospel move forward. I won't take time to turn there, but 3 John verses 5 through 8, if you're taking notes, you might write this verse down, because the Bible says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have missionaries that have come to us for the very first time, and they're taking the gospel to the regions beyond, and we're going to meet them for the very first time. And we're going to get to know them through the course of the Missions Conference week. And you have the opportunity as a church member to be an active participant in what we do for them during that week of Missions Conference. You can help with a meal. You can help with an Amazon gift card, a Walmart gift card. You can be some kind of fellow helper to the truth. You say, what kind of gift is too small, Pastor? Listen, if you're on the missionary deputation trail, there's no gift too small. Now, I know it might be hard to feed 7 mouths with a $5 McDonald's gift card, but I'm just telling you right now, I don't know that any missionary would turn down anything that can be done on their behalf. because we want to be fellow helpers to the truth. Okay, started in Jerusalem. Persecution leads them to start churches other places. Antioch has a burden to send out missionaries to the regions beyond. And now the missionary support will come from the local New Testament church. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is where we get into the nuts and bolts. Say, Pastor, are you going to talk about giving? Yes, for just the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about giving. All right? Because I want us to all be active participants. I'm saying to you this morning that your missionary portfolio could really grow beyond your wildest dreams if you trust God with the dollar bill. If you trust God with the dollar bill. I had one man that came to me after we had done a report on a mission trip in 1997, and he came to me after the services, and he said, you know, that missionary report from the one you just gave and the teen trip you just took, he said, I've never given a dime to missions, but starting next Sunday, I'm going to give $5 to missions. And I said to him right then, $5, give me a break. You can do better than that. You think I said that to him? No, I didn't say that. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know what that $5 was? $5 was? It was an investment that will count for all eternity. Missionary support and giving is now through the local church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The Bible says that I give to the local New Testament church that I'm a part of. I'm a part of FBT, so I tithe at FBT. You say, oh, Pastor, don't talk about the 10%. Okay, I won't talk about 10% because in reality, the truth is we ought to be far more generous than 10%. We should really see how God has blessed our lives, and if we really believed all the passages in the Old Testament that speak to God's abundant giving to those that are generous, and if we trusted God and we believed what He says, that He would open the storehouse of heaven and pour out a blessing such as we cannot imagine, we'd have no trouble being very generous with the work of Almighty God. But I tell you what, we often become so tight-fisted over the funds that actually God has entrusted to us, and we become tight-fisted over it instead of keeping an open hand, and it just says, God, whatever you place here is going to keep on moving. Because it's not mine, it's all yours. But we give here through the local New Testament church, but that's my tithes and offerings. Perhaps some of you this morning came into the services today and you put your offering envelope into the offering plate, and that's a fantastic thing. I hope you do that. We have these giving envelopes. We have the envelopes that are in the rack in front of you. You can also give online. That's no problem at all. But down there on the categories, it says tithes and offerings. Here's what that is. That's the funding that is used here in the home front, and we want it to be a blessing and paying the light bills and paying for our salaries and paying for the ministry and everything like that. That's done here. But over next to it, there's a little box called missions. And this is where we're at this morning, and this is what we're preparing for with our Faith Promise missions. I want to give over and above my tithes and offerings to be a supporter of missions. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2, it's a recognition, yes, I'm to lay aside my tithe and to be ready to give every time I come into the house of the Lord. But above that, I want to be active in giving to the work of the Lord. So how do we do it here at FBT? Take your Bibles and go with me one more time, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Apostle Paul used the church in Philippi to be a challenge to other local churches. I believe God works through the local church. I don't think it's an invisible, universal church. I believe in the local New Testament church. And I believe the real church, the church that God founded, is always local and visible. And this is exactly what God has directed us to here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, here's what he does. He says to the church in Corinth, he says, I want you to be mindful of what this other local church did. So this would be an example. Lighthouse Baptist Church, be mindful of what Fairfax Baptist Temple is doing for missions. Faith Baptist Church, be mindful of what Lighthouse Baptist Church is doing for missions. Grace Baptist Church, be mindful of what Faith Baptist Church is doing for missions. Here's what he talks about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 to the local church in Corinth. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Do you know what is at the heart of the giving from my wallet? This matter is at the heart of whatever you give from your wallet. This matter's at the heart of it. It's the giving of your heart. You see, if God has my heart, my wallet is sure to follow. If God has my life, my wallet is sure to follow. So here at FBT, we use what is called faith promise missions giving. Some may refer to it as grace giving, as the Bible talks about this grace of God that was bestowed upon them. In just a few weeks, we are going to have an opportunity to make a commitment to the Lord for our giving for the coming year. This is a couple years ago. This is our faith promise missions card. Everyone in the church that's a part of FBT can get one of these cards. There's a little bit of a section here of a tear-off. There's no room for your name on this. There's no place for your name on this because this is a commitment not between you and FBT, but between you and Almighty God. And you'll go to this and you'll say, now, here's the regions beyond. 196, some 200 countries in the world. Thousands of missionaries that have gone. FBT currently supports 200, and this is an up-to-minute tally. 246 missionary families. 9 or so out of FBT, 237 that we've partnered with alongside of us. And what you're going to do here on this card is write an amount. It's a weekly amount, a biweekly amount, or a monthly amount. And then you're going to tear this section off and you're going to write that same amount over here. And here's what you're doing. You're saying, "Lord, by faith, I'm going to give this to the missionary effort of the Fairfax Baptist Temple in reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ." Now keep this in mind. As you give to missions, none of that missions money is used to pay the electric bill here on the home front. That missions money is not used to buy a new van so that we can take kids on field trips. That missions money is used for missionaries that come our direction. It's used on missionary trips. It's used in everything related to the missionaries that come our way and to those 247 that are on the field. You say, "I wonder if they're being faithful with that money." Boy, I tell you what, we want to be honorable in this because God honors people that are honorable in their missions giving. And I believe with all of my heart, from the youngest to the oldest here in the ministry of FBT, everyone should do a faith promise commitment. Years ago, we started giving our boys commissions. You may be familiar with that term related to the Dave Ramsey philosophy. We did not give our boys allowances. We gave them commissions. And I was strong and heavy-handed with it. And if you have a youngster, I would highly recommend you do something like this. When they were 4 or 5 years old, I gave them a dollar bill. And I broke it up. I gave them 4 quarters. All right? I made them put 2 quarters in the offering plate. My boys were very generous in their financial supply. They were giving 50% at the time. And I made them put in 2 quarters. 1 quarter went to their tithes and offerings, and 1 quarter went to their missions giving. And so I had my boys fill out a faith promise commitment card, and on it they said 25 cents per week that we're going to give to missions. Can I just say this? The current generation has no concept of what it actually costs to do the work of the Lord, because in pop Christianity, they have lived off the backs of wealthy individuals that are generations ahead of them, and they've come in and stolen the churches and buildings that those people once built. So when's the best time to teach your children how to give? You know what I have found? I have found that kids are overly generous. But with our boys, we just said, okay, on your card, you're going to write 25 cents. Well, you know what? When I got a raise in the coming year, my boys got a raise. And so the next year, they were given $2 a week in commissions. Well, man, they thought, man, I'm in high cotton. How much did they have to give out of the $2? They had to give a dollar. I'm still at 50%. So they give their dollar. How much went to missions? How much went to tithes? 50 cents, 50 cents. They put down on their faith promise commitment, 50 cents for the coming year. Listen, don't think for a moment that if your child has income, that they shouldn't already be tithing on it. I made $7 to mow grass here in a neighborhood in Burke years ago. And you know what? I tithed off of $7. Why? Because whether you have $10 or $1,000, if you can't learn to tithe off the small amount, you'll never learn to tithe if you win the lottery. So I want to challenge every teenager, if you have any kind of income, well, Pastor, I just work here at the local ice cream place and I make $100 a week. Okay, there you go. What's your tithes and offerings off the $100 a week? And what do you want to invest for missions in the coming year? You, by faith, make a statement to Almighty God. Now, for some, you might sit down and you might say, man, there's just no way that I can really come up with that. And I'm stepping out on a huge level of faith to do this. Pastor, this level of faith is so great that I'm actually going to have to break into my COVID toilet paper. You know what I'm talking about. Because I'm going to have to cut back on 12 Starbucks a week. You know, if you go to Starbucks every single day, and with inflation, you're probably spending 15 bucks a morning, you know, at Starbucks, because it's so cheap. You know, if you cut back just one of those days a week, and you said, this is going to be my missions day, and you said, God, I'm going to go 6 days a week, and I'm going to give $15 a week to missions. It was going to Starbucks, but I'm going to give it to missions this year. Every week, $15. You know what? That's the best investment you'll ever make. Now, there are some that can do far beyond $15. And let me just say, to the credit of FBT and the people of FBT and the generosity of the people of FBT and to the preaching and teaching of the pulpit and those that came our direction, let me just say that this church has given millions of dollars to worldwide evangelism. And there are missionaries that have been on the field for 40 plus years, and FBT has supported them since the day they began. And there's a lot of fruit that abounds to your account. But if we do not as a whole take up this banner, one of three things is going to happen. If we give exactly what we gave last year, we maintain the status quo and we take no new ground for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we give less than we gave last year, then what we're eventually going to have to say to the missionaries is, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to cut your support because we just don't have the necessary funding to be able to continue to support at that level. But here's what I would love to see. I would love to see two things. I'd love to see more people get saved and join the ranks of the giving. They realize, you know, I'm the product of someone else who gave, and I want to be a participant, and I want to give too. And here's the other thing I want to see. I want to see God challenge our hearts even more and say, you know what? Last year I gave $100 a week, but this year by faith, I want God to give through me $150 a week. And you think to yourself, there's just no way that I can accomplish that. Well, I tell you what, if you put God first with your finances and with your resources, yeah, maybe there's some hobbies that you don't get to do, but I tell you what, when you get to heaven, and you meet the face of that one that trusted Christ as their Savior through Roger Crowder having been on the field in Porto Alegre, Brazil for 30 plus years, and that individual comes right up to you and says, you know what, I lived in a small town in Santa Maria, Brazil, and because you sent the missionary, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I dare say that will be more important to you in that day than any hole-in-one that you get on the golf course on this day. I have hobbies. I have things that I love to do. But I don't want anything to take the place of God's desire to bless my life abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And so I want to be an active participant. And if I could just say this, let me just throw this out. for everyone that's on staff at FBT. If you're on staff at FBT, you should be the best givers in our church. Why? Because you are actually the beneficiary of the great giving spirit of other people that have sacrificed much so that we could have the ministry of both the church and the school. And I want to challenge even our own staff to step out on faith, to do what God would have us to do. I believe with all of my heart that as we make this commitment to Almighty God, it may be the first time that you've ever committed. And in this coming year, you may just say, Pastor, my faith will only allow $1 a week. Well, you know what? It's a start. But it won't take long that you'll begin to watch those videos that we have normally the first Sunday of the month, and you'll see it in a different way. You'll see it in a different way. When Pastor makes the announcement and says, hey, we're going down to Guayaquil, Ecuador, and we're going to see firsthand how our missionary daughters are being used in Guayaquil, Ecuador. Boy, I want to go because I want to check out my investment. I want to see what God's doing. I want to see how the missionary is accomplishing the work of the Lord. I want to be an active participant. Boy, if you invested $10 million in Bitcoin, you'd sure be following where Bitcoin was today. If you had 100 pounds of gold at your house, you'd sure be following the amount of the price of gold. You'd sure be following it today. You'd sure want to know where it was. Boy, I tell you what, there's nothing sweeter, there's nothing finer than giving the dollar, the $5, the $100, the $1,000, and then going to see the faces of all these people that have trusted Christ and to see the churches planted and to just sit in the front row of that service and close your eyes, not to fall asleep, but to just listen to their voices being raised in praise to our God. We give through faith promise missions giving here at FBT. And let me just challenge you this morning. This is not about equal giving, but it is about equal sacrifice. I'm not expecting my son to give what I give to the work of the Lord. But I am expecting both of us to be sacrificial in our giving. Do you remember the old widow that came in with the two mites and Christ is overlooking? By the way, he didn't have to overlook it. He already knew what everybody gave. But Christ said, listen, that widow hath given more than they all. Why? Because God knew what she had left in reserve. And I want to challenge FBT this morning. Would God see fit to bless our ministry above and beyond anything that we could ask or think? I remember the day here at FBT, and I don't know that it ever fully came to fruition, but we had individuals that gave unbelievable commitments to the Lord. And God did unbelievable things in our missions conferences. There was one missions conference in the late 80s where we hosted 50 missionary families. Can you believe that? For a conference. It was a zoo. It was a crazy zoo. 50 missionary families. Each of the missionaries had 2 minutes. And they could just say, I'm going to the field. God's going to use us to see people saved. We're going to plant New Testament churches. Amen. Sit down. 50 missionary families. Dr. Sis, Dr. Halsey, these men were there and they preached. And boy, I tell you what, great enthusiasm. Great energy, great faith promise commitments. Well, you know what? We're a mature church now. Well, Pastor, that was in the early days of the ministry where there was great excitement and energy. But now we are mature and therefore we're more reserved about getting excited about what God might be doing. Please don't raise your hand. Please don't say a hearty amen. We're after all, matured in the faith. Well, I'm telling you what, as a little kid, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And we do scale back from the 50 families. We give a good bit more time to each of the families to present and to get to know them. But I'm telling you what, if you'll catch this missionary vision, many churches do it other ways. Some give out of their general giving. And they give a percentage out of their general budget. But in the previous year, God has used FBT to give well over $450,000 to missions.
And tonight I'll give some more of the specifics of what we're actually doing in different areas for missions and what I believe God would have us to do in the coming year. Would you get excited? Would you be moved? Would you be stirred? Would you underline Philippians 4:19 and trust God that He's telling you the truth there? But my God shall supply all your needs. Dr. Sisk, Dr. Don Sisk, many of you would know that name if you've been here at FBT. He came many, many times for our conferences. And he always used this illustration for us. He'd say, church family, receive it from God and give it out to others. And I can see him doing that again and again, receive it from God and give it out to others. Oh, what could God do through FBT? I know this has been primarily an informational message, but I also pray that this is a challenge to each one. Every single person here at FBT, as a member, as a regular attender, every single person should be getting a Faith Promise Missions card and should be doing something. Pastor, it's only a dollar for me. Hey, I see that dollar and God's going to bless it like He blessed the two widows' mites. That five-year-old steps up with great excitement and said, Pastor, I'm really going to be generous this year. I'm going to give a whole quarter. Well, son, you're really only giving 12 cents, but that's okay. All right. No, I'll never say that. I'll rejoice because I know that with every missionary we send out, the gospel's going into a new place. People that have likely never heard the gospel before hear it for the first time. As people get saved and follow the Lord in believers' baptism and a local New Testament church is established, we say, amen. Our investment is paying off. What will you do in this coming year in the area of missions for the Lord? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together today.